Let's go to Nehemiah, the second chapter, please. I want to open here with a thought. I want to talk on the very power. I guess is the best way to put it. The very power that enables you and I to live for God. We can't make it alone, Sister Mary.
That's right.
It takes somebody to help us,
yeah.
And we're not going to get there without it.
That's right.
In the second chapter of Nehemiah, the first verse said, it came to pass in the month of Nisan, the 20th year of Artaxias, the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine, gave it unto the king. Now I had been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said to me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? When the king said it, then the king said to me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. I said to the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in his sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city my father's sepulchres, that I might build it. That I may build it. And the king said it to me. The queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me and to set him a time. And I set him a time. The world this morning is run by power. Everything basically that we have to do with is connected with power. We wouldn't be going home with an engine sitting in a garage and a car here. I wouldn't be flying high except them big old jet motors on the sides of that plane and zipping me across at 30,000 feet back to the house. You wouldn't have a cooked breakfast this morning if it wasn't for electric power, gas power. Power means a lot to you and I. We've got to have it. It makes the world run. It makes the world turn. If it wasn't for the power of God, we wouldn't have anything. Now then, in the spiritual realm, the church of God doesn't move but by the power of God. We've got to have that power. It's not a think about, it's an absolute must. The Lord himself set it in place, the apostles set it in place, and the preachers to stay are still setting it in place. It's taking this power for you and I to be able to live for God, to be able to have the victory, to be able to do what God would have us to do. I wouldn't be here this morning if it wasn't for the power of the Holy Ghost. There ain't no way I would have made it. I'd have been out a long time ago. But back in 1975, in the state of Kentucky, back a few miles from here, the Lord had mercy and sanctified me and filled me with the Holy Ghost. And that's the one that has kept me, helped me, and empowered me to be able to do what I do. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for him, I would have never made it in any way. But God has been able, by his power, to give the people something that they need this morning to be able to do what he wants them to do so they can help, bless, and encourage, and do things that will be a blessing to souls all around the world.
Amen.
Now then he said here, the king said unto me, well no, let's go down and said, for how long shall thy journey be? Now how long is your journey going to be? Anybody tell me how long your journey's going to be? There's no way you know. So consequently, you better get what you need to be able to successfully make the journey. You can't make it on an empty tank. If you're going to take a trip, you better start out with a full tank of gas. And you better check the oil and do the things that need to be because you're going on a journey. And it's serious out there, especially for women folks driving on the highway today, and serious for men too. But the bottom line is, you've got to have the necessities to be able to do what needs to be done. And this morning, I'm going to tell you, you need the power of the Holy Ghost, because you got a journey. You don't know how long it is. You don't know how serious it is. You don't know where you're going to end up, so to speak, as far as what you're going to be doing. So consequently, you need something to empower you to be able to go all the way. And that is the power of the Holy Ghost this morning.
Amen.
You need that power.
Power of the Holy Ghost.
All right, let's go to Acts, the 10th chapter, 38th verse. How God anointed Jesus. Now this is the Son of God.
Yes.
This is the one that came down to make the plan of redemption for you and I. But how God anointed Jesus. He used the same power, so to speak, for him that he sent for the church years later. He's got it all set in place. He didn't take Christ, and Christ didn't do what needed to be done by nothing. He had the very one that was going to empower the church of God and take it all down through the ends of time. And so consequently, for God anointed Jesus by the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, this morning, with the power of the Holy Ghost. With the Holy Ghost, get it right in a minute. With the Holy Ghost and with power, get it right around here. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, number one, when Jesus showed up on the scene, the devil didn't roll over and die. He didn't play dead. He didn't run and hide. The devil come out in full force from the moment the Christ was born. Devil started in every way he could to stop them. He didn't want the plan. He didn't want Christ here. He didn't want the miracles done. He didn't want salvation with people. So consequently, the devil set in full force to shut it down. And Jesus and God set in full force to take it forward. He done more in 33 and a half years than all other preachers combined will ever do in a lifetime, praise God. And he done it with the Holy Ghost and with power. You and I have got to have that power this morning, saints. We cannot do any good without that. We've got to have it. It's a must. It's an absolute. The old General Sammons, as I call it. I'm going to tell you, come out. And he fired over and over with the gospel of God. You must be sanctified. I'm going to tell you this morning. There's really not a minister among us that has taken the message of sanctification and the Holy Ghost and done and kind of picked up the mantle, so to speak, after the old general died. They didn't pick it up, run with it. I'm going to tell you this morning, it's still needed. I'm going to tell you this morning, it's a must. I'm going to tell you this morning, if you're going to make the journey, if you're going to end up the way God wants you to end up, you better have this power. This is the power of the Holy Ghost that's going to help you, praise God. Listen, everybody needs to go about doing good.
Yes.
Jesus went about doing good.
Yes.
And healing. All. Yes. That were oppressed of the devil.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people still oppressed. There's still a lot of people who's got problems with the enemy, so to speak. And so consequently, you and I need to have that power to help them. I'm not saying you can deliver them, but you can encourage them. You can bless them. You can do things for them. But day and today, the United States needs people full of the Holy Ghost and power. That is the problem. There's too many devil powers and not enough Holy Ghost power. And we need something that'll set this country on fire. And it ain't the ball games. It ain't the lawyers. It's not the doctors. It's the Holy Ghost power that God has given to the church of God. Praise the Lord. And I ain't talking about wildfire. I'm talking about good old Holy Ghost baptism that gives you power to live above sin and do what you need to do. Many people out there that's fallen down. I went to the West Coast one time, Brother Eckert and I, another man, and went out there and coming back. There was this tent meeting, big tent meeting out there outside at an Indian reservation. And I don't know, the other brother and I was talking about it, and Brother Eckert goes, I want to go there. So we had to go down and turn around where we could get back. We was on I-40. We turned around, we went back. We pulled in and we found us a place to park. They was out where they're making a lot of racket with music over there under that big old tent. And so we got out and they greeted us, so to speak, and they said, "Well, who's holding this tent meeting?" "Well, so-and-so. Get him. Tell him we want to talk to him." Now, Brother Egbert was doing most of the talking. I wasn't. And so he brought him out, and we sat down, and we talked and visited. And to my shock and surprise, that preacher said, "How would you like to come preach in our meeting tonight?" Whoa. I had no idea a door like that opened up. So Brother Egbert said, "We'll be here." We climbed in a car and we headed and found us a motel in Gallup, New Mexico. And we went in, and other brother and I said, "Well, there's one thing for sure, we don't have a message." Brother Egbert said, "I do." So we went in there that night, and he got up to preach. And then after he got up and preached, the evangelist of that deal started calling all the people up. And he got them, and he put them in a line here, and he started praying for them. He'd put his hand here, and he'd slap them there, and he'd start praying. They'd fall out on the ground. They'd shake and wiggle and all of this kind of stuff. He's praying over them, and I'm going to tell you, I looked this situation over, and the other man looked the situation over, and Brother Abel said, "You know, I think we need to get out of here." I said, "I think we need to do." And over here to my right, no, I'd been to my left, but I was sitting right there. Over here in the right, or over in the left, there was a woman. And she'd gone down to the altar and she was praying. And Brother Mark, he goes, "Brother Carl," said, "did you hear that woman over there?" I said, "No, what was going on?" Said, "She was barking like a dog." And I said, "She was, yeah. That was devil need. We need to get out of here." And we left. We got away from there. I'm going to tell you, that's one spot that kind of stuff goes on. They say that's the evidence of the Holy Ghost being filled and talking in tongues and all of that. I'm going to tell you, the devil's played more tricks on church people in the United States down through the years. But I'm going to tell you this morning, I'll preach to you by the Word of God something that will work. And it won't have you jibber-jabbered on the floor, but it'll give you power to stomp the head of the devil and give you power to live for God. Praise the Lord. Power. Power is needed this morning. Let's go to Luke 24 and 49. One of my favorite scriptures. And he gave unto them power.
Yes.
To tread upon scorpions and serpents. No, no, no. I'm getting ahead of myself. Ah, Lord, help me here. And I am, behold, look at, consider, I send the promise of my Father unto you, upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Yeah. Now this is a commandment. All right, let's go to Acts, the first chapter, fourth verse. It said, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, "You have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. For ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Tarry ye. Tarry ye. Sometimes people don't get the Holy Spirit the first time they put in for it. It may take more than once. Don't get discouraged. But I'm going to tell you, you've got to keep trying. Do you get it? Keep putting in. Because it said, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem unto you be endued with power. Now the Lord knew when he left. When he left, he knew that this body of people, these apostles that he had called and worked with, he knew that they was going to have problems. That the devil, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Jews, and everybody else was going to attack with full force. He knew they had to have something to be able to stand it. Listen, folks, today, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Jews, and all religion is still attacking the Church of God today. So consequently, we still need this power. We've got to have it. Said, tarry ye in Jerusalem till you be endued with power this morning. And then over here in Acts, he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria. How much a witness are you this morning? Are you letting people know that you're saved? That you're sanctified? That you're living for God? Or when it gets that time, do you just kind of cower down and hunker down? I'm going to tell you, it takes power sometimes to stand up and say, I'm one of them. To stand up and say, I am saved. To stand up and say, I believe that truth. It takes power to do it. And that's why you need this power. You need the power to help you to be able to do whatever God would have you to do. And without it, you can't do it.
Okay.
Brother Sammons one time held a meeting down in Alabama. He held several of them down at our tent meeting. And this particular time, he got in the gospel truck to leave. I don't know, he turned around or something, been raining, and the back of the truck just sunk to the axles. So he got out and he looked the situation over, and he went about getting out. Well, there was a neighbor, and I'm not totally sure, I'd have to ask Brother Marshall this, I don't know if she had been to the meeting or not, but she got to looking at this situation and wanted to know how he was going to handle it. So he didn't get mad. He gave him a shovel and gave him some wood and all the boards and different things. And he set about and she watched him. And it took him a while. But he began to work. And he got everything set and he pulled the old gospel truck out. I'm going to tell you this morning, he done it by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
He didn't get mad. He didn't get upset. He didn't throw a fit. He said, well, this is terrible. I'm ready to go home and I can't even get out of the yard, so to speak. But I'm going to tell you this morning, that woman looked on that and she witnessed that and it done something to her. That's what we need. We need a life of witness. You might not say a whole lot, but if your life will witness the very power of the Holy Spirit and let people know there's a real power that helps me to live for God every day like this, I'm going to tell you, that will talk to people's hearts. And then the Lord can back that up with the Spirit. Say, see there is a difference. There is a difference. There was a man one time that I done a little work with. My brother take it off, and I worked for him, kind of in his spot there at Morgan's Auto Body World many years ago. And there was a man there, and got to working with him. He was a religious man, and he got to telling about different people he knew, and he felt like they was hypocrites, so he pitched them over in the hypocrite trash can. He pitched this one and this one, different time, pitched them over there. And then one day, he mentioned the saint. And I thought, I'm going to see what he does with this fella. He didn't pitch him in the trash can. He said he was a saint. He didn't use the word saint, I don't believe. But he had confidence in him. He had watched his life. I knew the man. I knew the life he lived. I knew something about his salvation. But I didn't know him when he got saved. He got saved, I guess, before I did. But the bottom line was, I had confidence in the man. And he won this man's confidence by steady life.
That's right.
The steady life comes by the power of the Holy Ghost. The steady life comes by God and you having the power to be able to do what you need to do in front of your wife, in front of your husband, in front of your children. Praise God. I'm going to tell you today, there is problems in the home, and a lot of it would be taken care of if people would get their lives in order. People could have some confidence in one another. They could appreciate one another. And they could back one another. All right, let's go now to Luke, the 10th chapter. And we'll get the verse I thought I was getting a while ago. It said, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us to thy name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, again, look at, consider, weigh. Think about it, folks. I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now then, again, the Lord knew that they were going to be on full attack once he left. There were scorpions out there, Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Jews, whatever, scorpions and serpents that were there with venomous biting power, that he knew that they was going to have people going to do all they could do to take these men down. So consequently, he said, I'm going to give you power, praise God. I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give it to you. I want you to have it. You've got to have it. It ain't something that I might think about. Listen, one scripture in the New Testament there leaves it with the impression that Jesus Christ himself was pent up until this was fulfilled. He wanted them to have it so bad, he couldn't hardly wait for him to go and send the Holy Ghost. Oh, I tell you, he knew what they needed. He still knows what you need this morning. He's still preaching the same gospel 2,000 something years later, saying you children need the Holy Ghost and that power that goes with it to help you live for God. Praise the Lord. I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I'm going to tell you, the devil's going to do everything he can do. If you're going to keep the faith, you're going to have the power of the Holy Ghost. If you don't, something will eventually possibly take you down. So you need this. We want you to keep the faith. We want you to live the life. But it's going to take that power. Do you have it this morning? Praise God. Do you have that power? There's scripture here in John, the first chapter in the 8th verse, no, 16th verse. And of its fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Right. Now again, and of its fullness, do we have that fullness? Do we have it full? Do we have everything? And what I'm saying is, do you have the Holy Ghost this morning? Do you have that infilling of the power of God to enable you to do what you need to do? All right, let's go to Acts, the 4th chapter. Acts, the 4th chapter and 33rd verse. 4 and 33. He said, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Now, the finalization, what gave the gospel what it has, is the resurrection. It had to be. And so consequently, the Sadducees, they attacked this with all power. And others. And so consequently, the Lord knew that. So he said, and with great power gave the apostles witness. Now they'd gotten the Holy Ghost, they'd gotten his power, and they set out to prove without a shadow of doubt that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was real, was powerful, and consequently it was exactly what he taught it was. It was backed up by the very fact that he did it, and now that it sets in place this gospel of salvation, complete and true and full, and so consequently they set about, and God gave them the power to do it. Now then, with great power.
Yeah.
With great power. All right, now then, you and I need power in different ways. Let's go to 16th chapter of Matthew. 16 and 24 of the good book of Matthew. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now I said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The gospel life is a life of denial. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, folks. Let's not go to sleep on me this morning. It is a life of self-denial. And that's what he's teaching right here. And you know what helps you to be able to do that? The Holy Ghost. You got to have it. You've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost. Because there's time that it's going to take the very power of the Holy Ghost to help you to be saying, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going there. I'm not thinking that way. I believe Maxine was saying, your sister Maxine was saying yesterday morning about the thoughts and so forth to bring them in subjection. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost. So, do you need it? Have you been having problems with thinking? And I'm not talking about a mental problem. I'm talking about the devil bringing in some things that wouldn't be good for you to think on. It'd be discouraging, whatever. And so consequently, the Lord wants to give you a power to help you to stand up against the enemy and all these things that he's bringing your way, and help you to be able to deny the flesh and the mental capacity of the thought process, where you can bring everything into subjection and live for God. Praise the Lord. Have victory. Brother Bob Slee one time was in meeting at 23rd Street. He was down there, Brother Varghese, I believe what, had preached a message. And Brother Bob got up. He said, listen, folks. He said, we don't need a lot of people with a hangdog look. Wow, Brother Bob. But I'm going to tell you, there ain't no sense of coming in here and looking like you lost your best friend. It's time to come in here and rejoice. It's time to come in here and shout. It's time to come in here with a message of victory, that you've got a victory day in and day out living for God. I'm not saying you'll never have any battle, but the bottom line is Jesus has got a power to help you to do what you need to do. There is people that is out there that I'm going to tell you, you'd think they lost their best friend a lot of times. Sometimes on windy night, you about got to pump them and prep them to get them to testify and so forth. But there's something better than that. There is a power that'll help you come out and declare and to stand up with the very workings of the Spirit of God, because you put self down and got the victory over it. Praise God. Lord, help us. Lord, have mercy. Luke 14:26. Luke 14:26. Power to say no to self. We need this power this morning. If any man come to me and hate not or love less his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Lord, help us. You know what the problem with the United States is today? One of them is that they promote me, I, over and over and over. They pump it, they prime it, they push it. I'm going to tell you what the word me stands for. How many of you know it stands for my enemy? Me can give you a lot of problems. So consequently, with the very power of the Holy Ghost, you can put me down where me below and stop it and say, me, you're getting down there. You're not going to assert your authority anymore, and I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to do what the Lord would have me to do. I was back a number of years ago when I had my service station. One night the devil come up to me. I was shutting the place down and fixed to pull down one of the loop bay doors, garage door, whatever you want to call it, loop bay, I call it. And I was standing there, and the devil walked up to me, and he said, you're going to say, I'm going to give up. And I thought a minute, and I thought, well, I'll admit I ain't on top of the mountain right now, but I'm not going to give up. I am further than when I started, and I'm going on, and you get on out of here. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to live for God. He left, and I'm still going many years later. But it took God to be able to do it. I couldn't do it by myself. Listen, folks. People say, well, you don't need this. Yes, you do. You've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit, the workings that God enlisted. He set it in a place, and you've got to have it to be able to do what He wants you to do. And you've got to stop self a little bit and me a little bit. He's got to have the power to do it. Praise God. My enemy. Me can give you a lot of trouble this morning. Oh, Lord, hate. Hate. Love less. You got to love the Lord, number one. He's got to be the main number one person in your life. I understand there was a minister many years ago I'm not exactly positive who it was, but I was told that he got married, and on their wedding night they got to the honeymoon, on their honeymoon, whatever, and gone to the motel or home, wherever they were going to spend their first night. And so he asked his wife, said, "Who do you love the most, God or me?" That's quite a question to ask a newlywed. And she thought for a minute. She said, "I love the Lord the most." He said, "That's fine. You keep it that way, and we'll do all right." And that's what they did. Put God first. God's got to be about the husband, the wife, the children, the father, the mother, and everybody. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We got to do that. And if we'll do that, the Lord will bless. Lord, work, because He's number one. He can use a couple that way. He can use a family that way. That's sold out and filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you, we've got families right today, and we've had them down through the years, that mama and daddy can sing, and they get the children up there, and they can sing, and I'm going to tell you, it's a blessing to the church of God. Oh, today, there had been preachers, and their children were called to preach, some of them. And they've been a blessing to the church of God down through the years. So consequently, I want to encourage you, there's something you need this morning. If you don't have this power, you've got to have it. Went to an auto show many months ago, my brother and sister-in-law, myself, and I'd read about it in the paper, and I called my brother, and I said, "They've got some mighty fine cars down there at the Oklahoma Museum down there in Oklahoma City." I'd never been there. I don't think he'd ever been there. And I said, "Would you like to join me?" "Yeah." So we went. And we was looking at these cars. Some of them were worth, I guess, millions of dollars. Maybe one or two of them in the whole world. Very, very valuable cars. Very beautiful cars. Some of them very old. Some of them were newer. Corvettes, Mustangs, and so forth. But I got to thinking, you can have a beautiful car, but if you don't have the power source under the hood to make it go anywhere, it don't do you much good. You've got to have that power, folks. You get in that car, you put the key in there, and you turn it. What do you want to hear? Vroom. You want it to start up. You want it to go. You want it to take you places. You want it to be a blessing to you, so to speak. And today, the Lord wants to be able to use you and I and hear us go running, so to speak, and away we go. I want you to go over here, or I want you to go over there. Just like Philip, when he was out there, the Lord sent him down to the eunuch. If Philip hadn't had the power and the leadings of the Spirit of God, he wouldn't have done that. Listen, saint, he got his whole congregation saved. That's pretty good. Might only been one person, but it's 100%. He got a one person saved, praise God, because he followed. I understand he left a fine meeting to go down there.
That's right.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9 and about 24. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run," the writer's saying. "Not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." In other words, I'm not shadow boxing. I intend to do something. I intend to do what needs to be done. I'm going to land a knockout punch. And he said, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." One translation on this, if I remember right, says I give myself a punch under the eye. In other words, I am intending to work on self. I am intending to do what needs to be done. A lot of times, we don't want to hurt ourselves. The Lord said, "Punch him one. Get him." If you're going to get the victory, you got to whoop him, so to speak. You got to knock him out. You got to give him the knockout punch. But it takes power office. Do you have that power this morning? Are you struggling? Are things pressing you in a way that you don't know where you're at or what you're doing? I'm going to tell you, meetings like this are sent for a reason. For a reason. Not just, we're not come down here. I didn't give all that I give as far as the financial end and the whole for it just to come down here to play games. I'd rather stay at home. I got things I can do at the house. I'm going a lot anyway. But Brother Marty and Sister Maxine, and the ones here that are here that's back in this meeting, the other ministers also, Sister Mary, we're here for a reason, and that is to help you to see your need by the power of the Holy Ghost. We want you to see if you've got problems, if you've got troubles, if you've got not being able to have the victory, it's time to get it. Don't keep just waiting around. Let's get the victory, praise God. All right, Acts the 6th chapter. Acts the 6th chapter and 8th verse. I want to go there. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which saith, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the custom which Moses delivered us." And all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on him saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. The power of the Holy Ghost with Stephen was remarkable.
Yes, he is. Yes,
but I got news for you. The same Holy Ghost that filled him is the same Holy Ghost that will fill you.
Yes, so.
He hadn't changed down through the years. He said, full of faith and power, and he did wonders and miracles among the people. And so consequently, again, like I've been preaching this morning, the devil set out to shut him down. He's going to shut you down if he can. He's going to stop you dead in your tracks if he can. So tonight, or today, this morning, you need something that will help you to be like Stephen, to go on. For people to look on you. People to examine you, to study you, and see that this man is able to do it by the power of the Holy Ghost. Have you got that this morning? Have you got that power that enables you to do what needs to be done? All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, 3, and 5. And we're going to bring this to a close. Now, Paul writing here, and he said, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. But he said, in my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstrate of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Now again, Brother Paul is wanting you and I to see that back then, in the very beginning, when this thing was set in place, it was something that was very, very powerful. My speech and my preaching was not. In other words, I preached the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Paul did not have the personal acquaintance with Christ. But he went out and spent time, I think he was in the desert. And what was it, 2 or 3 years out there? And he went out there and he spent time alone with God. And the very one that called the others and had called Paul is the very one that taught him just like he did the others. He had that power. He had that revelation. He had that understanding. And so consequently, Paul was able to come along and preach the very doctrines and the very things that God had been working with all the others, Peter, James, and John down through the time, and he picked up the same banner and he took it. Listen, folks, that's the same way that you and I do today. I wasn't born back there. Brother Clint, Brother Larry wasn't born back there. Sister Maxine, Sister Mary wasn't born back there. But the same Holy Ghost that taught them teaches us and gives us the very same thing. He gives us the very power. He gives us the very workings by the Spirit of God and helps us to be able to proclaim and do what needs to be done to be able to help you to have the doctrine and the understanding and the wisdom to be able to do what you need to do. Brother Egbert called it Brush Bible College. We don't go to seminaries. Cemeteries, we go out and we get it on our knees.
Yes.
Spent hours getting this.
Yes.
And I don't claim to know all the Bible. I'm not saying that. But I'm going to tell you this morning, the ministers of God today can preach. And we don't want to do it with enticing words of man's wisdom, but we want to do it in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's your faith.
Yes.
Keep the faith, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I'm going to tell you, it needs to stand in that power today. All right, let's go to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1 and 3. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy have begotten us. Again, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now he said, to an inheritance. The Holy Spirit is part of this inheritance. There is people on the, I guess you call it natural inheritance, that some people receive from their parents or grandparents or so forth. And there is situations where people fight and fuss. I've seen it when I was a boy. And my grandfather left a certain amount of money to his 10 children. Some of them decided to borrow before he died. Well, then when it got time to split everything up, they wanted to forget what they borrowed, and they wanted to split the rest of it equally. And my father and his sister right there with him, they were, Aunt Opal and Dad was the oldest too, they said, we're not doing it that way. And the baby sister of the house, I was pretty young, but I remember this, they were all at Mom and Dad's house, and then she come out of that deal, and she got in that car and slammed that car door, and she started that engine, and she revved that engine, and she took off. She was mad because her and her husband had borrowed. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of fighting, there's a lot of fussing, there's a lot of problems over inheritance. But this inheritance here is given to each one individually. We don't have to fuss and fight over anything. We can all have the same amount that they had back then. We can have it today. Praise God. And that inheritance is something that you can pull on all the rest of your life. You can never get to the bottom of this inheritance. It's the richest, most powerful. If I laid $1 million on a table here and said, you all can have this, how many of you would walk out the door and never come back? Any takers? I'm going to tell you, I'd just stand right over there and I'd watch you flock down here and get you some money. And away you would go. You wouldn't leave empty-handed. Oh, what was his name? There was an actor. I can't think of his name here. Recently, within the last 5 months, he took and got him 14 briefcases or suitcases. And he went to the bank and he drew out millions and millions and millions of dollars. He filled each individual suitcase with $1 million apiece. He took them to the house and he married that lawyer from overseas, the pretty girl, and they've got twin children now. And he married her, and I can't think of his name, Clooney, whatever. And anyway, he...
Clooney.
Huh?
George. There you go. Thank you, ma'am. And so he called 14 people in, had a nice steak dinner for every one of them. Then after they had all eaten and visited and so forth, he took them in the living room and he went and got each one of them a suitcase and brought them and gave it to them. He said, "This is my gift to you." And not only did he give them $1 million, folks, he paid the taxes on it on top of that. Now that'd be nice. I heard one man on the radio, he said, "I figure the 15th best friend was just not too happy." I'm going to tell you tonight, Jesus Christ has got a greater inheritance than 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, 4 million. This inheritance is so rich that it will help you to make heaven your home. Are you willing to get it? Do you want it? Is it not inviting this morning by the power of the Holy Ghost saying, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest"? The full rest is in this Holy Spirit right here. The full rest, the full power, the full everything that you need this morning is by Jesus Christ giving the Holy Spirit to the church of God that has helped it be what it needs to be all down through the annals of time. Do you have it this morning? Do you have this power that will help you to go to heaven? Time to stand. Let's have a number.